Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Happy New Year. It's good to see you. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them it's going to be a good year. Now, just in case they didn't believe it, just tell them again. No, I really mean it. It's going to be a good year. We know that because our God is a good God. And our intention this year is to be aware of His presence with us as we enter into the new year. The Bible says that God will never leave us or forsake us. So God is going with you into the new year, whether you want Him to or not. He's going to go with you. That your choice is whether or not you want to embrace His presence in your life as you go into the new year. Our encouragement as a church is that you would embrace the goodness of God and the love of God as you enter into the new year. I love this this recap of what God's been doing in our global family, but I also love what God is doing here in Every Nation Taipei. Last year we baptized 16 people, and we're believing God for more, amen, as we come to next year. I'm believing God that each of us, each one will reach one, that you'll have a part in bringing the glory of God. That the scripture says that God will be glorified to the ends of the earth. The glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. So it's in response to God's declaration that we say, let's take the gospel to every nation. It's not something that we're thinking up. It's not something that we just decided to do. We're just saying, if that's what God's doing, let's just join Him in what He's doing. And let's just find places where we've not yet had a chance to spread the glory of God. And here's the glory of God. The glory of God is when His sons and daughters come to know His love and begin to grow up to be like Him. That we begin to reflect His image to the world around us, to the community around us. This is the mission of God, that sons and daughters would know the Heavenly Father and grow up to be like Him. And so we talk about the mission. This is our theme for this week as we enter into prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to join with us as we fast and pray. Misery loves company. And so we're going to be miserable together with our global family for a week of not eating and just fasting and giving up things that we love in order to focus in on God and just say, God, this year we want to consecrate ourselves to You. We want to declare that You are number one. That we're going to seek first the kingdom of God. I love the reading in today is that we're doing the U version, the daily Bible reading, the daily verse. And today's one is, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. I just want to be in God's presence. The great thing about the house of the Lord is that no longer do you have to come to a building or a tent or a location, because God has made His dwelling amongst us. In us. God loves to be inside of us. And so wherever you are, God's presence is there. And it's really more a matter of us worshiping Him that causes us to be like a temple to the Lord. It's a matter of us acknowledging Him. So we are the temple of God. And wherever we go, we can spend time in God's presence. We can enjoy God's presence if we'll just take the time to be aware of His presence with us. So turn to your neighbor again and just tell him, you're the temple of God. God's with you. See, that's a powerful thing. David had to go to the temple. He had to go to a building. He had to wake up in the middle of the night and go there. Wake up in the morning, go there. Sunday, Saturday, go to the temple. But you and I, anytime, you know, if you wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning, God is there with you. And you can acknowledge His presence. And say, that one thing that I desire, I'm going to take advantage of it right now, God, just You and I. I love those moments. You know, when you have a good friend, it's just fun to hang out. I can remember when I was in high school, I moved to Guam, and I had a cousin there. And we would just love hanging out late at night, go to McDonald's, because it was open all 24 hours, and get Cokes. I love Coke. My wife's telling me, I got to stop drinking Coke. It's just not good for me. So I sneak Coke whenever she's not around. Sorry, love. But, you know, just get Coke and a Big Mac or something, and we would just sit on the car in the parking lot and sit out there for 2, 3 a.m. and just, you know, solve the problems of the world. Just talk and dream together. And today, so many of those dreams, he's a missionary in Thailand, I'm a missionary in Taiwan, we're almost in the same place. But you know, that's what it's like. That's what God wants to do with you. It's those late nights, early mornings, just to talk together, to dream together, and to walk together. God has good things in store for you because he is good. God wants you to walk in his love and to share that love with others. And we mess it up, and we're just human, so we're going to drop the ball, we're going to mess it up. But the great thing about God is he never gives up on us. Amen. And he always pulls us back in. And so today we're starting this series on the mission. And we're talking on, it's it basically, we're going to look at one verse today. It's the most well-known verse in all the Bible, in John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says simply this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And we're just going to take today, and we're just going to unpack this verse. What does it mean? Because we're going to look in these next 4 weeks through the month of January, we're going to look at what is the Father's role in this mission? Because our mission comes from God's mission. There's a Latin phrase which has become very popular in theological circles and seminaries and churches. It's called Missio Dei, which means God's mission, the mission of God. And what's happened is the church has come to this new understanding that it's not us out here trying to do battle on God's behalf. We're not out here trying to come up with ideas and plans and purposes that are going to help God. What it is God has invited us into his mission, that he has created us with a purpose. He's created this earth and humanity on purpose. You're here on purpose. It's not just about you. I love how Rick Warren starts his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's not about you. It's all about him. Yeah. And whatever we do is just the fruit of God's invitation to us to join in to his mission, to spread his glory to the earth, to all the ends of the earth. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And we can choose whether we want to do that from the inside or from the outside. As part of his family, to say, "Jesus, God, man, it's amazing that my dad is your king of the universe. That's amazing." It's always something if there's people in your family who accomplish amazing things, and it's one thing for you to celebrate with them. It's another thing for you to see someone else or hear about someone else's celebration. And God's desire is that we would be from the inside as sons and daughters to celebrate with our Heavenly Father, not only who he is and what he's done, but that he's invited us to share in that with him. And this is what we get to do. This is what it means to be a part of God's mission, is to just be able to share with people how amazing our Father is. And to invite people into that same relationship, that they can be adopted into the family. I grew up in a family that we always had people over at our house. We always had people staying there, sitting around the table with us. It was rarely ever just us, our family, the eight of us around the dinner tables. It seemed like there was always another mouth that showed up. You know, we had a lot of futons, you know, those Japanese fold-out beds, because there was always people who just ended up spending the night. So here's a futon. Go find a piece of floor, and you're welcome to stay. And that's where I grew up, and it was always fun to introduce people to that, especially, you know, guys who never grew up with that, didn't have that kind of a family experience growing up. And it was always like the story in my family is, as my brothers would date different girls, you know, when their breakup time would come, they're always like, "It's really a bummer. You know, I don't mind breaking up with you, but I feel like now I'm breaking up with your family, and that's really a bummer. You know, your family's so amazing." See, that's the way we should feel about our relationship with God and being a part of his family. is that we get to introduce people into this amazing family, a God who loves us no matter what, who's given his best for us. And so we're just going to break down this verse here, phrase by phrase. For God so loved the world. See, sometimes in the church, we'll take like last year, we went through the whole book of Ephesians, verse by verse. And that took a bunch of weeks, and that was fun, just kind of unpacking in context and seeing the overarching context of one book of the Bible. And that's a great way. We encourage you to read this last year. We read through the whole Bible, and I think that's always a good thing, just reading through the Bible in a year and just getting a broader picture of the Word of God and what it means and how it all fits together. But there's also times when it's fun just to focus in and unpack one section of Scripture. And so that's why this year we're going into the daily Bible verse. And it's just day by day, just taking one Scripture and just unpacking that and saying, what does this mean to me? How do I apply this verse to my life? And just unpacking that one Scripture. And so today we're going to do a little bit of that. We're just taking one verse and we're going to just unpack it. Okay? All different ways to delve into the beauty of God's Word. And so the first phrase of this verse is, for God so loved the world. And it talks about the love of the Father. And so as we go through the mission of God, the source of the mission, where it all starts from, is the love of the Father. This is the foundation. And if we don't understand the love of the Father, we'll never understand God's mission, because it comes out of his love and from his heart. And we'll get all these different kind of crazy ideas or slightly off ideas of what the mission of God looks like. And we've seen the abuse of that throughout Christian history, you know, where people have gone in and enslaved people rather than setting them free. And where they've tried to bring them to a national culture rather than bringing them into God's kingdom. And it starts with our understanding that the mission of God is based on and flows out of the love of the Father. You know, it's only recently that social scientists have begun to really study the impact of a father's love on their children. As we go back over recently, I was reading all these different studies that guys are doing, and as they go back over the body of research, and there's a lot on the love of a mother for their children, but very little on the love of a father. And actually, when they look back over the studies, the old studies so much point to the father's role of protection and provision. And say that's kind of the main thing the father does, protect and provide. And they've missed this whole aspect of the love of a father and how a father nurtures and the difference that it makes when you have a father who loves, a loving father. And we see that in of course, movies and stories, so many of them point back to the love of the father and the relationship of a child with their father, and that becomes the point of conflict in these movies, is the lack of a father's relationship with their son. And so movie after movie, especially if you like superhero movies, the classic is always, you know, the superhero who doesn't know his father or who's, you know, not in a good relationship and is restored to that relationship. It's rarely about the mother. Right? Because there's something about the Father's love that God intended for all of us. And the enemy always wants to tear down that understanding. Here's just a few of the things that they found regarding the Father's love and the importance, the impact of a Father's love. It brings increased confidence and self-esteem when a father loves their children. It brings emotional resilience when there's a good relationship between father and child. It reduces risky behaviors when a father has a good relationship with their children. They actually develop better relationships. They find healthier interactions when fathers get involved with their children. It improves problem solving. Kids who have great relationships with their fathers are better at problem solving. It enhances intellectual growth. They get greater academic achievement. It fosters more independence. They're able to see life through more different perspectives when there is a strong fatherly figure in their lives and active involvement. The development of character oftentimes is strongly affected as much by the father, if not more by the relationship with the father than with the mother. And these are just some of the benefits that come from having a strong relationship, understanding the father's love. And that's why for us, Jesus, when he came, he said, my purpose in coming is to show you the father, to show you how he loved you. Because before that time, they had that distant protection, provision view of God. And God, Jesus said, I want to show you what a father-son relationship really looks like. And that's why Jesus didn't come just as Savior, Messiah, Conqueror, Sacrifice. He came as Son. Because it's only by coming as Son that we could begin to understand God as Father. And that's an important place to start for all of us. And so as we come into 2026, it's a good time just to sit down and number one, evaluate your own relationship with your father, your earthly father. And just say, well, what are the good things that I've learned from that relationship? In what ways was my relationship with my father reflective of my relationship with my heavenly father? And in what ways do I need to see my Heavenly Father as different and fill the gaps in my life? God says that he is a father to the fatherless. And it may not mean that we're fatherless, but there may be places of gaps in our lives that we need to understand and embrace the love of the Father, because it begins to then, see, we're created to be in God's image. And this is how we begin to understand God's image being formed in us. It starts, the Bible says, that God loved us first. And we're to love in the way that he loved us. So it starts with us recognizing the ways that God loves us. And we want to start with the love of the Father for us. And that becomes then the foundation. It gives us the confidence. All these different benefits of emotional resilience, problem solving, the things that a nurturing relationship with the Father form in our lives, God can fill in those gaps in our lives to help us to develop healthy and strong lives the way that God intended. So knowing the love, God so loved the world. This is how God loved the world. Second thing, the greatest gift. God so loved that he gave his one and only Son. So what that communicates to us is the depth of God's love for us. And I love what Romans 8:32 says. It says, for if God didn't spare his own Son, how much more will he give us everything that we need? This amazing gift of his one and only Son, the thing most precious to him, that God would give that up for us, is just an indicator to us of how much God loves us. And his love, the Bible says, never changes. It's steadfast, it's faithful, it's unchanging. So God, in the moment, the love of God that drove him or that moved him to sacrifice his only Son for you, that's still how he looks at you. That's the way that he's looking at you today. He has such a deep desire for you. There's a saying, there was a popular TV show in America called Mad About You. And people said, God is not mad at you, he's mad about you. He loves you so much. He's just looking for opportunities to talk to you, to walk with you, to be a good influence in your life. And so this is how we understand that when difficult times come into our lives, as we embrace God in our lives as a father, he can begin to then help us understand the difficult times. And he can begin to discipline us and form character inside of us because of his love for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We need to just understand how much God loves us. How much more will he provide everything that we need? So as you enter 2026, God has more than enough for you and I. I love this exchange that Jesus had with his disciples after he fed 5,000 with five loaves and two fish, and then he fed 4,000 with seven loaves and seven fishes, and then he's telling them, hey, now watch out, you know, because beware of the yeast or the leaven of the religious people. And what he's talking about is just their pride. And how easy when we get into pride with what we know and that we're smarter and we know more Bible than somebody else, Jesus said, you got to watch out for that kind of pride. It's the same kind of pride that the Father told Adam and Eve to watch out for in the Garden of Eden. Look out for the knowledge of good and evil. When that replaces the relationship with the Father, you've missed it. And it's probably the most deadly deception that we all face as we come to God, is to begin replacing knowledge about God or knowledge of good and evil for a relationship with the one who is good. And so he's saying, watch out for those guys. You know, don't get caught up in that, just this pride of what I know. But continue to embrace the relationship, I think, the leaven. So he was referring leaven to pride. And they're thinking, bread, you know. Oh, it's maybe because none of us have bought bread on this boat ride, you know. And so, and Jesus is like, how can you think I'm talking about just natural bread? Weren't you guys there when I fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes? And afterwards, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. And he said, I can make something out of nothing. It's not a problem. And so as we go into 2026, our focus needs to be, God, I want to make sure that God's with me and that I'm aligned with Him, because He can make something out of nothing. But if I spend all my time trying to get something and trying to get stuff for myself, I burn myself out. I get the wrong stuff, and the stuff I get has the wrong impact on my life. And it starts to be all about me, my pride, my accomplishments. And so 2026, let's remember the love of God. That the one who gave his only son, how much more will he not give us everything that he knows that we need? The next section says that whoever believes in him, and I love this, it's whoever. This is an open invitation to everyone. You are invited into this relationship. It's not just for, you know, the saints and the serious ones and you know, those who've been Christians a long time or those who are really serious about their. It's an open invitation to everyone, and it's all based on trust. It's whoever can be, you know, perform correctly. I always get this when people are going to get baptized. They often get, I don't know if I'm ready to be baptized. I don't know if I'm holy enough to be baptized. I don't know if I can keep living righteously, you know, so I don't know if I'd be able to keep. And I would say, you know, the point of baptism is a surrender. It's death. It's not effort. It's just death, burial, resurrection. And it's a trust in God to say, God, you can do this in me. And it's about you. It's not about me. And it's about what you've done. I identify with your death and burial and resurrection. And so, God, I know that I can't do this. And so I surrender. I take up my cross to follow you. Our human nature leads us to want to figure things out ourselves and do it ourselves. And God's just saying, you just have to trust. See this belief there, whoever believes, that belief there is really, it's not an issue of how strongly I can believe, but it's really an issue of how surrendered am I to trust God. To say, God, you're always right. If my logic disagrees with yours, you're right. If my circumstances disagree with your declaration's right. This is the surrender of trust. Say, God, it doesn't look like the right thing, but if you say, okay. And the Bible is just full of stories of so many who've trusted God through seemingly counterproductive circumstances, whether it's Joseph going to prison, Jesus going to the cross, David facing Goliath, children of Israel going through the wilderness, God's process is so often different from what we would lay out. And that's where trust comes in. Whoever believes. So let's trust God. And I want to encourage you to encourage each other to trust God this year. Trust God this year. When you come to those moments of difficulty, trust God. Choose to trust God. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, choose to trust God this year. All right. The greatest escape. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Should not perish. There's this paradox of God saying, if you see me, anyone who sees me, you're going to die. You know, and yet we're supposed to seek him. And the Bible says when we see him, we'll become like him. So how do we see God and become like him and see him and die? You know, and this, I love where the scripture says, unless you lay down your life, you take up your cross and follow me. Unless you're willing to lose your life, you're not worthy to follow me. And yet God is saying, I want to save you from dying. If you follow me, if you trust me, you won't perish, but you have to perish. So like we get confused. Okay, God, what are you saying here? Am I supposed to die or not die? And here's the thing. Every time that you have an encounter with God, something inside you actually does have to die. Every time that you truly encounter God, you're going to see things in your life that say, you know, there's something in me that needs to change. There's something that I need to leave behind in order to step forward into God. That's what it means to take up our cross. That's what it means to accept a kernel of wheat falls into the ground. That's that seed falls into the ground and dies. It remains alone and it can't bear a lot of fruit. But when we're willing to say, okay, God, I'll leave that behind, that part of me. So 2026 is going to be a year of a lot of dying. Because we want it to be a year of a lot of life. And we want to become more like Christ, but what that means is the parts of us that are not like Christ, we have to be willing to leave behind. And so that's always the dangerous question. To say, God, what inside of me needs to die? What parts of me do I need to leave behind in 2026? See, this is the commitment of taking up our cross and following him. What will a man gain? You know, if he gains the whole world, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his own soul? And so my encouragement to you in 2026 is to take those moments of time and just do that self-evaluation and say, God, what inside of me is not going to help me become more like you? You show me. David would say, search me, O God. Know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the paths everlasting. The fifth part, but have eternal life. Jesus said we're supposed to pray that God's will be done as it is in heaven, so on earth. And heaven represents that sense of the eternal. And Jesus said that we're seated with him in heavenly places. In other words, we can begin to taste of the eternal while we're still walking here on earth. And it starts by us looking at God's character and saying, I want to be a reflection of God's character here on earth. This is what Jesus did. He showed us the Father, our Father who art in heaven. Jesus said, I'm bringing that to earth. By showing you the love of the Father. Matthew chapter 6:21 says, you know, don't lay up treasures for yourselves here on earth, but rather wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And so the question is, if we don't have a value for the things of heaven, for eternity, for the things of the eternal, it's probably because we just haven't put any treasure there. And I'm not talking about just money and, you know, coming and giving tithes and offerings. I think it's all of our lives that we value. We don't just value money, our time, our relationships. These are the things that are of of true value in our lives? And are we bringing those to the throne of God? Is our time given to God? Saying, God, well, how do you want to use my time? See, if you haven't put treasure there, then you have no value for that. And so often I find in my heart, I like being here more than I think about being there, if I'm honest. I'm excited about stuff that are happening here on earth, and I'm excited about 2026. I'm excited about what God might do and, you know, things God can do here. I'm excited for being here in Taiwan. But I need to value heaven and the eternal more than, like Paul would say, hey, the best thing for me would be to die now and go to heaven. I just want to be with Jesus. But it's better for you that I'm here. And our prayer is that we start to value heaven that way, the eternal. God and who He is. Because that'll begin to change how we act here on earth. It's so easy to live for temporary things. That's part of why, like, as a movement, even with that mindset, we start to say, let's reach the next generation. Let's go after the campuses. There's not a lot of money in reaching college students, and it's really painful because you pour yourself into them for a couple of years, and then they graduate and move away, and you're like, you know. But it's always thinking, for God's mission, God's eternal purposes, more than my generation. It's not about me, us, this. It's about Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I came to show you the Father's love. And we remember that moment when He was wrestling with the Father about going to the cross. Didn't want to do it. But in the end He said, Father, not my will but yours be done. In other words, Jesus on the cross is a picture of the Father's love for you and I. That's how much the Father loves us. So my prayer for us as a church and for you is that this would be a year when you would just encounter God's love in a deeper way. To really know the depth of God's love for you, the Father's love. That He would even sacrifice His one and only Son. In some ways, over the objections of His Son, saying, Father, if there's any other way. But yet, Father, what I want to do is show them your love. And may we as a church and we as individuals say, Father, in my workplace, in my family, whatever it takes, I want to lay down my life in order to show people your love. Would you bow your heads with me? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You today. We're so grateful for Your great love for us. But God, Lord, as we're sitting here together as Your body, we just recognize, God, we fall so far short of Your love, of understanding Your love, of living out of Your love, of demonstrating that love in our decisions, in our relationships, to the world around us. So easy, Lord God, for us to live with just no recognition of You, no connection to You and Your great love. But Father, our prayer is that would change this year. That, Lord, we would have a fresh understanding of how much You love us. And Lord, today as we partake of communion, that moment of Jesus going to the cross, God, I pray that we would have just a fresh understanding of how your great love for us was portrayed through the cross. That Jesus' decision to go to the cross was really, Lord, a part of his commitment to showing us your great love. And God, our prayer is that this year we would, like Jesus, be willing to surrender our lives at the place of the cross and just say, I choose the Father's love over my own desires. And in any way, regardless of the cost to me, the sacrifices I need to make, I want to be a demonstration of the Father's love. I pray, Lord God, that as we come into 2026, Lord, you forgive us. You forgive me of my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my easily distracted life. And bring me back to that place of seeking you first. And making you the most important thing in my life. That my life would be a reflection of your love. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and take the elements. We're going to take communion today. So we just remember the love of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this bread is my body broken for you. And that as often as we do this, we're to do it in remembrance of him. And today we just remember that moment of sacrifice was Jesus saying, here is the Father's love for you. So bless the bread now. Your body broken that we could be made whole. God, I pray that as we partake of as we eat the bread today, that Lord, you administer healing into our lives. Healing from the brokenness of sin, healing of broken bodies, brokenness in our physical brokenness. God, I pray that that healing would come to those who are sick. God, I pray for healing of broken relationships. Just as Jesus went to the cross, brought the greatest reconciliation between us and the Father. Father, I pray that the brokenness of the bread would bring reconciliation in us as a church body, in our individual lives, and those that we've broken relationship with. God, we're praying for healing through the cross. So bless the bread now. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's go ahead and eat the bread. The Bible says that Jesus, in the same way he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant, his new covenant with us, sealed by his blood shed for us. And it's his promise that whenever we confess our sins, he'll forgive us of our sins and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His new covenant is that if we will repent of our sin and turn towards him, he'll come to live inside of us and he'll make us new. He'll give us new hearts. I don't know about you, but I constantly need renewing of my heart because my heart grows so cold and distracted, so easily distracted. That's God's promise. His covenant is that he'll give us a soft heart, a circumcised heart, a heart that knows him. His covenant is that we won't need to tell each other, know the Lord, because we'll just more be sharing about the things that God is doing in our lives because of our relationship with him. And so today, Lord, we come and we just say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Come into our hearts. You said that you're knocking at the door of our hearts. And God, we open our hearts to you and just say, Lord, we embrace that relationship with you, made possible by the blood that you shed on the cross. Renew our hearts, Lord. Bless the cup, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup together. Would you stand with me as we close? So welcome to 2026. Our very first church service in 2026. We're excited for what God is going to do here in our lives. But more excited that we get to portray and declare the Father's love to others. The Lord bless you. Happy New Year. May this be a year when we experience the love of the Father and share it with others. All right, thanks for being with us. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.